Welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every weekend we are here and we are doing life together. And as always, we're just so glad you've joined us.
Okay, Dr. Linda, I have been doing push-ups all week. Since you told me that today's program is about being strong, well, I think I'm ready.
Well, Chris, exercise certainly is good for the body, and we all know that, but it's also good for the mind, too. But this week, we want to discuss being mentally strong and what that looks like for each of us.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it looks like I missed the boat.
Yes, a little bit.
So I should have been playing Sudoku all week.
Sudoku? Right. I don't know how to say that word. I don't even know. What is the correct pronunciation?
Sudoku? Right.
Okay.
And apparently it's good for your mind, they say. It's a good exercise.
Well, today we want to help us all become mentally strong. Mm-hmm. We're going to suggest something other than playing that game, though. To be mentally strong, you have to have these healthy habits when it comes to managing your thoughts and your emotions and your behaviors. For example, can you make a decision and feel strong even if that decision turns out not to be the best?
Are you asking me?
Well, it's kind of rhetorical, but go ahead and answer. Can you?
Sometimes I regret the decisions I've made.
Yeah.
I feel bad about them. Mm-hmm.
But if you can make a decision, even if it doesn't turn out well and you're okay with that, you may be evidencing a type of mental strength. Hmm. Or are you the type of person who makes a mistake and just can't let it go?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we got our work cut out for us today,
right?
Then, right?
This show is for me, for sure. Well, let me see if I'm following you on this one. Does this have to do with being strong-minded or strongly opinionated? You may be sure of oneself in everything.
Well, I don't think we're talking so much about strong opinions, but you're definitely on the right track with that, because the answer to those questions that you just asked have to do with our confidence and where our confidence comes from. And we're going to talk about the most important source of confidence as we continue to go through this show. We'll give you that in just a few minutes.
Insecurity can lead a person to quickly doubt and crumble in the face of decision-making and challenges, wouldn't you think?
It does. It does. And that is so important for us to understand. And so I think I'll just go ahead and answer that confidence idea right now. So if we have our confidence in the Lord, then we're going to be okay, because even the strongest person that I know has a little bit of self-doubt. Hmm. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't go into making decisions completely confident all the time. Do you?
No.
Yeah, I mean, you already told me you didn't, so I was listening to that. So our confidence as Christians comes from the Lord working in us. And so when a Christian person says, I'm going in there and I'm going to have confidence, I'm going to make that decision, Chris, usually we've been praying about it, we've been thinking about it, we've been asking maybe for godly counsel, and we can walk in that strength. And that's part of being mentally strong from a Christian perspective.
Give us a couple of ideas when it comes to making good and strong decisions as we talk about this.
Okay, so I think one of the greatest places to practice is with small stuff. Mm. So you start with small decisions, right, and then you gradually transfer your skills to making bigger and bigger. And I'm thinking about this in terms of our children. You're a parent of small children, and mine are in their 20s now. But one of the things you both of us would agree to is the idea that we give them small decisions to make as they're learning things.
And it wouldn't hurt us as adults either to start gradually. Paint the bathroom, and then once you feel good about the way the bathroom looks, then paint the whole first floor.
Yeah, so start with something that's manageable, something right, that kind of maybe boosts your confidence a little bit. And that's, again, what we try to do with kids. We try to give them small decisions. Well, do you want this to eat or do you want that to eat? Do you want to go out and play or do you think you need to do this first? And as we give them those decisions, they begin to develop this mental strength that we're talking about, which is as they make a good decision, they get a little bit better with it.
You mentioned in your first point, practice with small stuff. And it reminded me of a book that came out in the mid-90s by Richard Carlson called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
Yeah, that book sold a lot of copies. Yeah. It really resonated with people. And part of that is because what he's saying in that book, in part, is you don't want to put a lot of mental energy on things that are really not that important. Hmm. I mean, how many times in our day do we get all worked up over things that probably are not that big of a deal?
The drive to the studio,
yeah.
Traffic.
Traffic. Yeah, and we do. We get very worked up. We use all this mental energy, all this mental strength, and we're putting it towards those things that really don't have a lot of importance in our life, and we really shouldn't be directing a lot of energy to.
Well, since good decision-making is part of being mentally strong, what stops us from being decisive?
I think you hit on it when you first said something at the beginning of the show. You mentioned the word regret. And I think that the fear of regret is really one of the most difficult things that gets in our way. A lot of people don't always recognize that behind regret, if you keep hanging on to regret, what happens is that you start to develop bitterness. And that's an emotion that you don't want to get into you because that doesn't have a good root to it. The Bible talks about the root of bitterness and how that is problematic. But what happens to people is sometimes so you try to make a decision. And then you think, okay, I'm going to make this decision. I think it's going to have a good outcome. But then time passes. It's not such a great outcome. And then you begin to think, oh, why did I do that? And I know I have a tendency to do that over and over. Right. And what we're saying here is that mentally strong people can forgive themselves for a bad decision. They can accept it. And they can accept it knowing that maybe it wasn't the best, but it's not going to completely change the future. So you have to kind of rest in it.
Right.
You know, what's funny about that, Chris, is that before the show started, you and I had been recording something and it didn't work out. And it really messed with us.
Right.
And we were texting back and forth and you were like,
what do we do?
We were having all this regret. And then we went, wait. We're doing a show on mental strength.
Right. And then you reminded me of that. And I said, oh, I guess we should practice what we preach then and settle down a little bit. And everything worked out.
Yeah, it's working out. Mm-hmm. So that is one of the points we want to say about mentally strong people, that you got to make your decisions mm-hmm. and then not regret necessarily that you have a decision you didn't like.
Well, related to decision making is often, and this is a bad word for some people, the willingness to embrace change. There's that word, change. Does a mentally strong person embrace change or do they keep doing the same thing?
Mentally strong people really do accept change as just part of life. Mm. And I know for people like me who grew up in the same house, had the same phone number my entire life,
right.
who didn't have a whole lot of change, I married someone who was constantly changing because he's a missionary kid. And so he was on the move constantly. And one of the things I learned from him is that it's good to understand that change is a part of our life. And we need to believe in our ability to adapt. Mm. And again, Chris, we're going to say because of the faith that we have in Christ that he helps us with those different changes. And if you view change as an opportunity to grow, if you view it as a challenge, then you're going to do better. And I know a lot of us listening are thinking, yeah, but I like predictability.
Mm-hmm.
I like routine. And I think the message here is we can't always have both in life. So the mentally strong person embraces change with a positive attitude.
And a lot of people are afraid of change, and that probably has a little bit to do with the fear of the unknown. And it involves taking risks. And what about taking calculated risks? Is that part of being a mentally strong person?
You know, I would say so. I would say mentally strong people don't take reckless mm-hmm. or foolish risks, but they do make a lot of calculated decisions and they take a calculated risk. So what they do is they spend time weighing the risks and the benefits before they make a really big decision. And they try to get as fully informed of the potential downsides before they take action. So as we've already said, then they take action and then they make a decision.
I am completely fascinated with this week's topic here on the Dr. Glenda Mental Show, and we are just getting started. A lot more to come. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Okay, let's be honest. There are times when we eat just because life is tense, or the kids are driving you crazy, or we feel anxious or insecure about a relationship with a friend or a spouse, right? Food might just be too available, or I can't help myself, or it feels so good to dive into the ice cream sundae. We have a million excuses, but the truth is, sometimes we just eat out of emotion, not need. You know, it happens to all of us. So how do we fix the problem? Well, here's a quick prescription, and it begins with press pause. If you follow this simple plan, you can say goodbye to mindless eating and hello to the joys of eating. When you press pause, you slow down and begin to listen to your body. Am I truly hungry? What's going on around me that makes me want to put something in my mouth? So here's how to pause. We're going to spell it out. The P stands for purpose. Purpose to delay immediate gratification. Then the A stands for attend. Attend to the moment, but also be mindful of the future and how your immediate decision might be the one you regret later. Next is the U. Understand that your good intentions and even your willpower don't win the impulsive eating battle. You need a healthy dose of God help. Then the S, strategize. Find ways to incorporate God's help. You invite the Holy Spirit to work within you, and you'll discover His strength to improve your self-control. And then finally, the E, execute those changes. So to eat without emotion, press pause before you eat.
If you'd like more on this simple plan, check out Dr. Linda's book, Press Pause Before You Eat, available online. You can win this battle. Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And Dr. Linda, I have been pumping iron during the break to get ready to see if I'm strong enough this week.
Okay. I don't know if you're a slow learner or paying attention. Again, we're talking about being mentally strong. I know you're just teasing with me.
So these barbells are...
not going to help you with the show.
Okay. Great.
But we could do a show on that, on pumping
True.
Iron.
Right.
Of course, I know zero about pumping iron. Is that your topic?
No. Let's have someone qualified to come in and talk about that.
Well, I'm hopeful that a lot of us that are listening to this, including myself, have fallen short of being mentally strong at times. And Chris, the whole point here is that we're hoping we can help a lot of people with this idea of what does it take to be mentally strong?
That is a good point. By the way, remember, you can listen to this program again at myfaithradio.com and check the archives for weekend programs. Or you can get great information from our relationship doctor on her blog at BeliefNet, her website, Dr. Linda Helps, and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can stay very well connected with Dr. Linda so that we can, as we say, all do life together.
And just want to mention, if you don't remember the DrLindaHelps.com, you can just say my name, DrLindaMintle.com. We'll take you there too.
Mintle.
Yeah, so a lot of people write Dr. Linda Mental. I've been called Dr. Mental many times, not spelled that way.
Well, let's address the elephant in the room quickly.
Yes.
Your last name is Mental. Sounds like mental. You're in the psychology
world. I know.
That happen?
I know. God knew. But you know what? I do have a little segment called a Mental Health Minute. So we kind of play off of it too.
Right.
So it's okay.
Okay.
I'm good. I'm mentally strong. That's
right.
Our topic. Okay, so this week's program, we're trying to better understand what mentally strong people do, how they act, how they behave, how they feel. But here's what I thought, Chris. I thought it might be good to look at the opposites. So what do mentally strong people, what do they not do? And the reason I thought this would be good is because I found a book by that title. And it was written by a lady named Amy Morin. Mm-hmm. She's an LCSW, a licensed clinical social worker. She came up with this idea of a number of things that mentally strong people do not do. And so we took some of them. We're using a partial list here. And we thought it would be good to go through these and see if we how we measure up.
That's right. Her first one seems like a good idea for all of us. It says, mentally strong people don't waste time feeling sorry for themselves. Woe is me.
Yeah, that one just makes sense, doesn't it? It's kind of like common sense here. Mentally strong people don't just sit around, like you're saying, and feel sorry for themselves or their circumstances or how others have treated them. I think it was really interesting. I heard Dr. Carson a few weeks ago talk about on the radio about the attitude of people in poverty. And he was saying that if people have the attitude that they can do versus they can't do, they're going to do better. And he's a great example of that as someone who came out of poverty with an attitude of can-do. So I think he would agree with this point.
You're talking about Dr. Ben Carson.
Ben Carson. Wow. So instead, he would agree with this. They take responsibility for their role in life, and they understand that life isn't always easy or fair. Now, I admit, I have a lot of problems with that fair part.
Right.
I was going to be a lawyer. I don't know if you know that before I decided to go into psychology.
That would be a fun show.
Why I didn't go into the career I did.
Right.
But because I always get into that fairness issue. I always want things to be fair in life. So to be mentally strong, you really have to sit with the idea that not everything is going to be fair and trust God.
Well, here's another one from Amy Morin. She says, mentally strong people don't give away their power.
I like this one. I think that's a good one because it means they don't allow other people to control them and they don't give someone else power over them when they have the opportunity for that. They don't say things like, my boss made me feel bad, because they understand that they are in control over their own emotions and that they have a choice in how they respond. So, Chris, this is a real common thing we talk about in therapy where we say we can't control the other people and what other people do to us, but we can control how we react to other people. And that is the part that we have control over. So basically, we're saying don't allow others to control you. Also, don't allow others to define you. And that's something I've talked to my children about for years. When they were very little, I would say to them as they were dealing with kids on the playground, and I don't know, your kids are at that age. Do they also have that issue of other kids saying that they're bad or they're terrible or they're not nice?
Already.
Already at their age?
Grade three. We haven't even made it out of elementary school yet, and that's already started,
Well, I saw that even in kindergarten with my daughter. Mm. I saw kids making, you know, fun of other kids, and I would say to them all the time, only God has the power to define you. Mm-hmm. Don't let anybody else have that power, so don't let them.
Mentally strong people don't give away their power, and when you first mentioned that, I thought of a person who was maybe arrogant. But this is healthy. This is staying in control of your emotions.
Yes. So it's really just saying, I'm not going to let everybody else tell me what to do, although I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go with authority and I'm going to do the things I need to do, but I'm going to take control over the part I can.
I know we've talked about this one earlier in the show. Mentally strong people don't waste energy on things they can't control.
Well, that's kind of what we've been talking about is that, you know, if you keep thinking, I've got to deal with this boss. I've got to make this boss change. I've got to make my partner change. I've got to put all my energy into that. Guess what? You're not going to do too well.
Wow.
Because if you've tried to, have you tried to change your partner?
It doesn't work.
That one came really fast.
That's right.
And here's one that I always think about. Like when I've lost luggage at the airport and I get really, really upset at the person who lost my luggage, like how is that helping? This person is not going to be nicer to me. In fact, they get worse when you do that. Sure. And there's nothing they can do about what happened. Or what about traffic jams?
Oh, we mentioned that earlier on the way here.
Yeah. Or if you're sitting in traffic, though, and you get really, really mad, and then you think, well, I'm putting all this energy into that, and you're not getting any kind of result from that. So mentally strong people focus on what they can control. That's what we said in the last point, too. They recognize that sometimes the only thing they can control is their attitude.
Wow. Now, this next one is probably something we should all work on. We worry about pleasing everyone, and a mentally strong person doesn't do that.
This one's biblical as well. So the only person we need to worry about pleasing is our audience of one, as Oz Guinness calls him, God. But do you think this is gender-based? Do you think women are more into that than men?
I think you can see women trying, but men, I think inside, want to be people pleasers.
You think so? Well. Okay, think so. So maybe they're not saying it as much.
Right.
So mentally strong people recognize that they don't need to please everybody all the time, so they're not afraid to say no. Hmm. They speak up when it's necessary. They strive to be kind and fair, but they can handle other people being upset with them. And that's the issue about being a pleaser. Pleasers don't like to have other people upset with them or unhappy with them.
Right. You've said this before on the program that your past doesn't have to dictate your future, especially when you become a child of God, but not dwelling on the past is part of being mentally strong.
It is. Now, there's a difference between learning from the past, understanding the patterns that you've developed and the habits you've developed, but mentally strong people don't waste a lot of time dwelling on that and wishing things could be different. So that's the difference. They don't constantly relive bad experiences or they don't fantasize about glory days. Instead, they live for the present and they plan for the future.
There's no sense in worrying about the past because you cannot fix it.
I know, but you can learn from it and you can understand. So don't dwell on it, but learn from it.
Right. Well, let's take a quick break here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And when we return, let's talk about what God says about being mentally strong people.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder, what is normal, and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast-food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
Need help navigating complicated relationships? Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, provides practical advice for everyday living. Visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com, for individual help. Blogs, videos, podcasts, books, it's all there and free for you. DrLindaHelps.com for your appointment with a relationship doctor.
Take Dr. Linda's conflict style quiz today at DrLindaHelps.com. That's DrLindaHelps.com.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mintel, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and this week we've been exploring what a mentally strong person looks like and what they do and what they don't do. And this has been a great topic, Dr. Linda, and I'm wondering at this point what you found that the Bible says on this topic.
Well, the Bible always has a lot to say about our thoughts and being mentally strong. God has given us a lot of verses on how to renew our mind, mm-hmm. how to take thoughts captive, how to think on things that are good and pure and lovely and noteworthy. So He knows us. He created us. He wired us to live a fruitful and a productive and a mentally strong life. And He's given us how to do it in His Word. So let's look at a few scriptures here together.
2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And this one hits right at the insecurity that we feel. But God is saying fear doesn't come from Him, rather power and love and self-control and a sound mind come from Him.
That's right. That's right. It's a good one. And you've got one from Philippians, I think, too.
I do. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me."
I love that one. Both of those scriptures that you just mentioned are where we get our confidence from, as we talked about earlier. And it really is the way, the theme of the Christian life, that our confidence comes from Christ and that He gives us strength to do all things. Now, you probably don't remember the Donut Man. You remember the Donut Man? He was big in Christian circles when my kids were little. And he would sing all these songs, and he always did scripture, which I love. So my kids would walk around the house, and they'd know scripture. Mm-hmm. And he sang this scripture in Philippians 4:13, and they would be singing it, "I can do all things," and he would yell, "How many things?" And the kids would go, "All things." They go, "How many things?" And they're screaming, "All things." Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, Chris, when I get into a jam and I'm kind of mentally weak, I do remember that Donut Man, you know, yelling at me, "How many things?"
Right.
All things, because mentally strong people can deal with things. They don't give up. They don't give up after the first failure. Mm-hmm. They don't view failure as a reason to give up. Instead, they use failure as an opportunity to grow and to improve. They're willing to keep trying until they get it right because they believe that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens us and keeps us going and going forward.
Well, Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." Wow.
Wow, that's a powerful one.
It is.
All
yes.
authority. All authority. Here's that word "all" again.
Mm-hmm, right.
All authority is given to us. Are you a Lord of the Rings person? Have you watched all the movies?
I know it's a trilogy.
Yeah.
I've seen the first one.
So the first one, yes. There's a scene in the first one where Gandalf, who's the main guy, leading them on a swinging bridge.
Right.
And all of a sudden, and they have to get past this bridge to get out. And all of a sudden, this huge serpent-like thing comes out of the abyss, and he threatens, obviously, to kill them. And Gandalf looks at that serpent, and he looks at the band of travelers that he has with him who have to pass. He's on that swinging bridge, and he yells, "Go back to the shadows. You shall not pass." And I love that part of the movie, because what he's doing is he's taking that scripture that you just read. He's taking all authority over the darkness, which God has given to us to do. So to be mentally and spiritually strong, we need to learn how to take that authority.
Romans 8:28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose."
Now, I didn't see this. All these three scriptures all say all. This one says all, too. Did you see that before?
It
didn't see that until I just now looked at this. "Who love God, all things work together." So this is that verse, of course, that reminds us at times that we have to be patient.
I heard a theologian say once, "All means all, And that's all means.
Okay, that's a good way to remember it.
Right.
So mentally strong people don't expect immediate results, whether they're working on improving their health or they're getting a new business off the ground. What mentally strong people don't do is say, it's got to happen now, or I'm not going to be able to make it. Instead, they apply their skills and they use their time to the best of their ability. And they understand that change a lot of times takes time, and it always doesn't come, or I shouldn't say it doesn't always come in the way that we think it's going to. So they trust God's timing, and they realize that even when things aren't going well, that Isaiah 54:17 is true. And again, one of my favorite scriptures, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. Or the way I learned that, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And you shall confute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Wow.
Wow, yeah.
No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. If you don't feel the authority behind that, and you don't walk in the confidence of God with that one, I don't know what it would take.
Well, as we near the end of the program, I've got one more question. How does God's grace fit into being mentally strong?
Mentally strong people actually walk in that grace. They don't feel the world owes them anything. They don't feel entitled to things in life. They understand the humility that we have, that we're blessed by God in so much. They don't resent other people's success. They appreciate, they celebrate with other people, other Christians who are doing well. They don't grow jealous. They don't feel cheated. What they do is they recognize that the Lord blesses. It's His choice who to bless. He blesses hard work as well. So as we wrap this up, it really strikes me, Chris, that the only sort of mental toughness that will cut it, no matter what is going on in our lives, is the mental toughness that comes from faith in the sovereignty and the goodness of Almighty God. This is mental toughness, grounded in the knowledge that nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that's Romans 8, if you're wondering. He has perfect knowledge of what he has and will do. He's a perfect judge. His grace is sufficient for every single situation. To be mentally tough, put your trust in the one who will walk you through any difficulty. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer and social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who's sitting across from me in the table and makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.